Hey guys, it's the Outlander After Show on AfterBuzz TV. We're talking, oh my gosh, so many things. Return of Point Break, oof. Frenchmen with babies. Good times, maybe. Not really, it's kind of sad. Stay tuned.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Oh yes, this music. Are you going flashing back to 1998, where everyone was like sad and weepy?
Yes.
Every movie had to end with this song, and you're like, why am I crying so much right now? Hey guys, so this is the Outlander After Show on AfterBuzz TV. We're talking season 4, episode 12, Providence. I'm Adrienne Snow, and here are my fellow co-host.
Hey guys, my name is Angel Taylor.
And I'm Rachel Goodman, and we actually have a couple of comments. I wanted to give a shout out. Joy White actually sent me a private message just saying how much she really enjoyed the show and that her daughter's actually undergoing medical treatment right now, and this helps lift her up. So thank you so much, Joy, for commenting. We really appreciate the fact that you're watching. And then we also had a couple of just comments in the chat as I listened to this music. we had Kamara Harrington. Look here, after tonight, I hope that things start looking up, because I was wishing I had a bottle of wine in the house. I needed it after watching this episode.
Yes.
Laura Pinney says, I was worried that they'd leave Father Alexander's story out, because it isn't closely tied to J&C, but I'm so glad they left it in, so critical to Roger. And then Gracianne Ryan says, man, that episode.
Yeah, that's tough. Thank you so much, Joy, and to your daughter as well for tuning in and being fans of the After Show, and to everyone else who also chimed in. This episode.
Yeah.
At the moment I heard this song, I was like, oh,
what's
okay,
gonna happen?
Here we go.
Were you shouting at Roger to go? I was.
No.
I was shouting at him to continue being the idiot that he is.
If he didn't touch the stone, I'm like, where are you gonna go, hon? Where are you gonna go? You don't know where you're at.
My thought was,
you're talking about the part where he could have
kept
broke
going.
Free.
Yeah. Because I'm like,
kept running in the forest. Survive.
Yeah. My thought was, he's going to go back and they're going to kill him anyway. So, Roger, just run for it.
Just knowing who he is, just would have been on his heart.
Yeah,
that's
true.
That he left Father Alexander behind.
Yeah, and you could hear him screaming. And even though it was Father Alexander's choice, it still, I think, would have, it wouldn't have made it any easier for Roger to leave. And at the same time, I was just kind of like, where are you going to go? Where are you going to go?
Yeah.
You have no money.
Back captive.
You have no resources. You don't even know where you're at. You don't know the closest city to where you are right now. So,
Well, at least now he knows he's in New York.
Yeah.
He didn't even know.
But what does that mean in like 98, wherever we're at this point? Like, can we talk about time and how it moves and how I have no idea how long things should have been happening? Now Brianna's like super pregnant.
Yeah. The baby's moving.
Yeah.
Yeah, that
like,
was weird.
Last episode,
it just found out she was pregnant.
Like, it was like 4 or 5 months. And now, like, okay.
Yeah.
But now Roger's just gotten to New York and they're still on track. Like, it does, the time of how everything's set up doesn't make sense. And it's a little bit more clear in the book, which we can talk about in the special segment. But
by the way, this is a book comment that is not a spoiler, but this is kind of going back to the questions that we had last week about whether Roger was recaptured or decided to go back to them. In the books, that he was recaptured. So they just didn't show it in the show.
Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense. But he was also recaptured because he just chose not to.
Yeah.
Not to go through the stone. Oh, Roger. You gotta know when to hold him, know when to fold him. You know what I mean? Just go. just step through. It'll be okay. You can come back later. We all know this now. All right. So let's just go right into Not Roger. let's talk about Marcelle and Fergus first. So we get to see them kind of have a Bonnie and Clyde moment.
Don't you love that couple?
Yes,
like,
I do.
That has grown to be my favorite couple. Like, I love Marcelle now.
not only
hate her mom, but love her.
not only was she supportive of him doing this, mm-hmm. she's like, oh no, I'm going with you. P.S. Yeah. Like, you're not doing this alone.
Yeah.
And she drove the getaway cart.
Right? Yeah. The getaway cart.
Yeah.
With that heart T, y'all. There are no cars yet. Like, you gotta have. Yeah, that's how you need what you need in a partner right there. Someone who will drive the getaway cart.
Bonnie and Clyde.
Bonnie and Clyde for life, except they die at the end, so let's not.
Let's not.
Not quite
Bonnie
that far.
Bonnie and Clyde die at the end.
Yes, yeah, spoiler for people who haven't figured that out by now.
The 1963 movie.
Yeah, or just the real life Bonnie and Clyde. They're dead. So they end up deciding to do a jail bust for Murtaugh. And I wasn't expecting that. I mean, yeah, I assume that Murtaugh's going to be hanged if they leave him in there, but it was nice to see Fergus kind of take charge, because usually he's the one who's kind of, you know, supporting a plan, but never really making the plan. So I was surprised to see them make such a bold decision, because that's a big thing, and if anything went wrong, they would all be dead, you know?
Yeah.
It was almost, to me, it almost felt too easy that they just walked in, stormed the jail.
Like, no covers.
And they were like, yep, here we are. We're coming for Murtaugh and we're going. And just how easy it was for them, how like brazen. And then also how I know they're in a rush here, but the fact that they would conveniently drop the keys right near Bonnet.
I know. Conveniently. Well, first of all, how likely is it that there will only be two guards at the door?
And wouldn't someone else
just
hear?
Just two guards. And then, like, was there any resistance once they got in? Like, I don't remember seeing any guards, like,
there was a few
in front of the jail
that they knocked down.
Oh, right.
There was, like,
the one they pulled out.
The one
that they didn't want to leave behind. Oh, okay. So there was one.
Three.
Inside.
Yeah. So three total.
So, yeah. Like, out of jail.
What they really had going for them was that John was there and he was just, you know, kind of going, he basically agreed to go along with it.
Yeah.
And
for Brianna's sake.
Yeah.
And Fergus's sake, probably, because he likes Fergus. But
wait, but did your heart stop when you thought, okay, so I saw him putting the, what is that, gunpowder around the jail, and I knew that Bree was in there. Mm-hmm. So I thought it was going to be an instance where there was an accident. Like, oh, we didn't know Bree was in there. And then they rescue her at the last minute, or something happens and she loses the baby. I don't know. Something crazy happens. So that's what I thought they were setting it up for when I saw them pouring the powder around, and I knew she was there to visit baby daddy. So I'm just really glad that it did not play out in that way.
I have just a little bit of knowledge from the book, so I didn't think it was going to go down that way.
Right.
But, you know, at the same time, I didn't know what they were really going to do, because Murtaugh, the storyline does not follow the books. And so you're kind of like, well, I don't know.
Correct.
My thing is, I wasn't sure what Brianna's goal was when she visited Bonnet. And I didn't know, I had no clue what she was going to say to him. Mm-hmm. If she was, I kind of figured she was going to tell him about the baby. Mm-hmm. And I like how it played out. I just kind of feel like I wanted more from her, but I get that, you know, this was her attacker. This was the guy who raped her. Like she, for her even being there says how strong she is to face the man who did this to her. But I felt very, almost like we didn't quite hit a note in that conversation, and we missed something from her that I wanted to see, and I'm not sure what it was. I can't really pinpoint it. I felt dissatisfied with the conversation.
I think it was pretty short, and
it certainly made me uneasy, because it was like she was lingering, like she wanted to say something but she didn't want to say something. It's like, she went in and then she pulled back and she's like, oh, okay, well, he said something. Let me engage more. And then it's like, let me pull back because he's still an asshole.
I think her choice to forgive him, I don't know. Well, I think that was, I get that they were making, that she was making the choice, you know, that Jamie thought was best and all of that. But because there was still so much venom clearly underneath the surface.
Yeah.
I think you kind of have to address that before you can get to a part a point where you can forgive someone. And so I think just kind of having that, well, there's stuff I can't say until, like, the end of this. But, like, there was just moments and beats that I would like to have seen more. And then I'm not here for, like, any type of giving any or type of empathy towards Point Break. Point Break is bad news. Point Break kills people. Point Break rapes women. Point Break is bad. Like, let's not give him any type of humanity. Yeah. He doesn't need it. Like, it's nice to do well-rounded. Yeah, and it's nice sometimes to have well-rounded villains in shows, and then sometimes it's just like, I'm totally cool with you just having this dude be bad. Because sometimes there are just, even no matter who loves them or who doesn't love them, sometimes there are just bad people.
Yeah.
Like, and there's nothing really redeeming, and that's okay sometimes to showcase that in television.
And that's what it was for me, and I agree with everything you just said, especially about the fact that even though she's there saying that she's forgiving him, mm-hmm. It's like her words are portraying the fact that she is still grieving over what happened to her, mm-hmm. and she's still processing, mm-hmm. and she's not even if this happened in the 1970s, it would still be hard in that climate to actually process something like this happening.
I mean, if it happened even now, that's not something you just, this isn't, like, at no point is sexual assault something that's easily forgiven and forgotten.
Yeah.
But the fact that she has a reminder of that moment, and that this has changed her entire life course, you know? Mm-hmm. She, even if she had decided, you know what, I'm not going to stay with my family. I just want to make sure that my parents are okay. Now I'm going to go back to the 70s and finish college and do my thing. That's over now. Like, she is there in the 1700s until she figures out if her child can go back to the future with her. If her child can go back to the future, then that's her life from now on. Yeah. So there are opportunities and choices that were kind of taken away from her because of his decision to rape her. Now, if it were something where it was like her and Roger and they got pregnant, then that's a choice that she's making. But, like, at the same time, he took away a lot of options that she had in front of her because he's, pardon my French, a piece of shit. So I get, like, the desire to forgive, but you can't forgive people if you're not ready to forgive them.
And that's exactly it. I think that's the problem I'm having with that scene, is not that she tried to forgive him, not that she was there, but the fact that, like you said, she's not in a place yet where she can try to forgive him. It just happened. She's still processing, and she's still going through all of these emotions that I feel like, you know, even in the most ideal situation, it would still be too soon to go and face the person who did this to you, because she's not, you can tell, like, everyone processes in a different rate, in a different timeline. But I just felt like from Brianna's perspective, it wasn't the right time. And I don't know if she felt like, well, before they hang him, if that was going to be his fate, maybe that's why she felt like she had to rush it. Yeah, yeah.
No, I definitely think that she went to see him because of that, because it's like that last attempt to not salvage, but get some type of closure from what happened, especially because the baby put a stamp on the whole thing. I really feel like it was her attempt to try to get some type of apology even. He was just very unapologetic and very smart-ass about the situation, even, like, to the end. And the most humane thing he did was give her back one of the rubies that belonged to her parents.
Yeah, now, it's like, okay.
Now, here's my thought on that,
from
too.
From his tooth.
If he survives, which I'm assuming he does, because he's the main villain right now, if he survives, my thought is that now...
Is he the main villain?
In the way that I see it, he is. Now, obviously, that could be up for debate, but to me...
I think he's the main villain.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and so for me, like, if the guy survives, which I'm guessing he does, he is probably now going to go after Brianna. And even though he may not, like, I'm curious, I know this kind of goes in predictions territory, but I'm curious what he's going to do with the knowledge that he has, and if he's going to try and somehow manipulate the situation based on the fact that's his baby.
With her and John?
Not, maybe her and John,
like,
but maybe.
Like the word getting out and then everyone knowing that she was raped?
Maybe, but I think I feel more like what he's going to do with that knowledge is target her specifically and mess with her emotionally.
Yeah, he is a psychopath.
Yeah.
And I think that was information she could have kept to herself. Like, only because for her own personal safety. This is not a man who has shown any hint at being logical, at being kind, at being even remotely sane. Yeah. And so to give him that information that would make you vulnerable to him in the future, even if you think he's going to die, he's already escaped being hanged once.
Yeah.
So he could potentially escape being hanged again. So it just didn't make... When she said that, I was like, oh, why would you tell him?
Because now...
like, it's one thing to confront him. It's a whole other thing to tell him that you have his child.
In his sick mind now, they're attached.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's going to He's going to do all kinds of crazy things.
It's a play on power now. Yeah. So, like, now he has... I mean, alleged escape, you know. Now he has the upper hand because he has this power that she doesn't want to get out. And... Mm. The whole manipulation thing with John being her husband and the father of the child. And, I mean, it really could destroy her image and the era that she's in.
Yeah.
Yeah, or, you know, he may not even decide to make that public knowledge. He could just torment her.
Yeah.
Like, that could just be how he wants to go about things. Is that tormenting her, tormenting her family? I mean... They live, their land is called Fraser's Ridge. So, I was like, Creek Ridge?
It's easy to find them.
Like, come on, you guys. Let's be smart about things, okay? If you face one psychopath and you haven't figured it out, and then you face another psychopath, you should have learned by this time. Do not give them any more information than they need. Like, don't make it easy for these people because they're horrible and they will attack you for no reason and they find it to be fun. But before we move on, did you have some words you wanted to say?
I do. Okay, so everyone who's watching right now, before we move on to our next topic, we just wanted to let you know, we wanted to thank you, first of all, for being the ESPN of TV Talk and for allowing us to continue to grow. So we could definitely use your help. If you guys can go and subscribe to the different YouTube channels that we offer. We have different genres. We've got sci-fi, which is what Outlander's a part of. We have, you know, just drama. We have different genres for whatever show you are interested in. It definitely would help us out a lot if you guys subscribe to those channels. Don't worry about there being any kind of notification because you can turn it off. So I don't like those. I'm sure you guys don't either. Don't worry about it. You can turn those settings off. The other thing is, if you go over and rate us on iTunes, it also helps us out. And leaving us comments, we will always read them on the air. So, thank you for being a part of AfterBuzz. It means so much to us because we have an outlet where we can talk about our shows and analyze them and get comments from you guys and kind of interact with all the fans, too. So, thank you for allowing us to have that space and for supporting everything that we love, too.
Yes, thank you guys so much. As always, please rate, subscribe, and all that fun jazz. And then are there any comments in the chat, which you can also be a part of if you tune in while we're shooting?
We're having, as always, we have a lot of awesome comments from everyone here. We have Kamara Harrington. Think about it this way. Has Brianna realized that she has actually come home to her true time? This is the time she was born in. She can always choose the time she wants to live in, but not now.
That's a good point.
Yeah. Billie Jean Girl 24 says, it was so sad when that woman kissed her baby goodbye and committed suicide to be with the man she loved. Yeah. Laura Penny, yes, Bonnet is a psychopath. He has no emotions. He is just going to do what is in his best interest. Elizabeth Brown agrees with Laura. And then...
She gave the spoiler.
Oh, yeah, we won't read the spoiler then. And then Grayson Ryan, I pronounced your name right this time, says they put their names on the map with giant neon letters for their enemies. Yes, they did.
Yeah. Yeah. Come on, guys. Like, don't do that.
Yeah. We're here.
I guess it wouldn't be a drama if we didn't, you know, make some dumb decisions along the way. Yeah, I got to say I agree with that. Jamie is still kind of, I guess maybe he's not a wanted man anymore. I don't know. Wasn't he living under an assumed identity in Scotland?
Yeah, in Edinburgh.
So he's still kind of a wanted guy there. So maybe he shouldn't go by his name in America. I'm just saying. if it were me, you would never find me again. I would have an assumed identity.
Especially back in the 1700s.
Yeah, my name would be dead and gone. I died a long time ago. That would be the end of it. You know, that's how you hide.
And then change your hair color, too.
Yep, you know, do what you need to do. Go gray. We all know you're going gray, Jamie. Just let it go. Full gray. Full gray. I know we love the red hair.
He should by now, though.
He should be. He should be more gray than he is.
Claire is definitely graying.
Well, Claire is also older than Jamie.
She yeah. is, She's like a but they older. Made it look very, like, pronounced.
Well, I mean, Murtaugh. Come on.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He's full gray. Yeah. With a ponytail.
But I know, yeah, obviously he's supposed to be a lot older than Jamie. Yeah. But, yeah.
Oh, yeah, like a father. Well, and gray works for Murtaugh. I kind of like the gray Murtaugh.
Actually makes him look strangely younger. I don't know.
It does. I like it a lot.
That's weird. Were you going to say something?
No, just, I said this last week. I'll say it again. Lord John Grey, come on, like, age the man.
Yeah.
I know he's younger than Jamie, but he looks exactly the same as when we met
him.
Yeah,
and that little boy's like, what, 12, 13 now? Yeah. Yeah, he should look
like a little bit. Yeah,
maybe they receded his hairline a bit.
Yeah, sometimes with less makeup, that would help too. Well, just saying,
he's really cute in real life. I mean,
cute on the show.
He's cute on the show, but go check out his IMDb. Sorry, not to. I was like, dang, dude, you are really hot in real life. Anyways, that long hair don't really do it for me. So let's move on. Is there anything else you want to say about Marcella and Fergus before we move on? Okay. Yeah, I just liked that little whole situation. I liked them blowing everything up. I liked her agreeing. It was great to see that growth in those characters. Mm-hmm. So I think let's just move on to the biggest story of the night, which is Selfish Roger. Ugh. As he likes to say that he is now.
As he does the most,
looking out for number one.
As he does the most selfless thing possible.
Do you believe it though? I don't believe it. No, I'm not buying it at all. Especially because of the ending scene.
Well, no, but it's also just kind of like, I didn't, that whole monologue. Okay, I wasn't here for Roger. I think the show was like, this is the best performance by Richard, who plays Roger, and we loved him so much, and that was great. But I was also like, I hate Roger right now. He's whiny. He's not communicating with anyone. You speak French? You tell this woman, hey, this is what would happen. I don't know why I'm here. Because everyone thinks I'm a bad guy. But I don't recall doing anything wrong. You want to talk to them and figure out what's going on? The other guy, I can't remember his name. Not the Johian is the woman. And then I don't remember the Native American man's name who speaks English. But then tell him.
The main Mohawk.
He speaks full English. Like, yeah. Come on. Yeah. Like, why are people communicating? Like, it was driving me crazy the whole episode.
Yeah, that was my problem, was that it was, he wasn't, for, I get why Roger would be going through this right now, where he's thinking, I only want to look out for me. He's been beaten down. He's been messed with. Mm-hmm. He has walked from North Carolina to New York. I get why he is in this place now where he at least is telling people that he only wants to look out for him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not necessarily because he believes it or not necessarily because it's true, but maybe he thinks that that's what he needs to do, and he's like trying to be like, oh no, from now on I am looking out for me and that's it. And we know that that's not true. We know that's not him, but I get it. I get why he'd be in that place. Mm. I would have been in that place long before him. So
Well, maybe also he said that to save Father Alexander's life. Like, not necessarily that's his school of thought now, but maybe he was saying that to try to persuade him to think in a different way, to change his perception so he could save his life.
I get it, but I don't think that was the way to go about it for the father. I think that what he got to at the end is when he was like, just abandon love. I was kind of like,
saying that maybe, to a pastor.
Maybe you need to convince him that, like what he said at the very end, like either go and run and, you know, repent for your sins, or go and try and get your love and your son to come with you.
Yeah.
I mean, I was just angry at everybody in the hut, the idiot hut. Y'all all acting like idiots. Even after You confirmed that you were idiots. You still continue to act like idiots. Like, no, maybe don't. Maybe just baptize the baby.
Maybe just pretend you're baptizing the baby. Like, I don't understand what was that whole talking in circles about. Like, why could he not pretend? Because, like, at the end of the day, he's acting like he serves a God that doesn't forgive. So once you have the idea that God forgives, why would you not do what it takes to survive here on earth so that you can be there for your offspring and the one you love and make things right, marry, you guys have a child together. That's the right thing to do anyway, right? So why would you have her go and raise this baby by herself in the name of, like, whatever servitude you've placed yourself under in God's name?
So this is my thought on that. Mm-hmm. This is a man who's obviously from a different time period. Not only is he a father, not only did he take a vow, but back then it probably would have been an even graver sin. It probably would have been seen as an even graver sin to do what he did. So someone in his situation, like, obviously I wanted him to do what Roger was saying. I wanted him to be like, just let's go. Well, yeah, and he could go to another priest and ask for forgiveness, exactly like Roger said, and then he would have be forgiven. Now, here's the thing, though, is that I'm just thinking about it from a man who's from the 1770s. It probably the weight of what he did was probably heavier than if it had been done in the modern world or even, you know, in Brianna or Roger's time period. So I'm just thinking that this was a man who he was going to allow them to kill him. That's kind of, I don't think there's anything Roger could have said, which is tragic, but very true. It was just a very frustrating situation to watch.
Yeah. And once he got Van Gogh, it was like, yeah. You really got its ear cut off.
Yeah.
People were like, Van Gogh. Van Gogh, as we say in America, cut his ear off. Like, I was like, oh God. He's really okay with everything that's about to go down. But I don't get it. Like, even in Scarlet Letter, I don't think he killed himself. She had sex with the priest. It's been a while since I thought about Scarlet Letter, but I believe she sleeps with a priest. I could be wrong. I might just be thinking of the 1997 Demi Moore, Gary Oldman movie, The Scarlet Letter. Anywho. it was nice to have the introduction of Jo-hyun. I might be saying it wrong. I wish we had more of her. I wish she had been introduced, you know, maybe an episode earlier, or at least got continue on into the next episode. It would be nice to have an extra episode of this season to kind of get more fleshed out characters with the Mohawk. I don't get the impression we're going to spend much more time with them. Come next episode, we'll see them for a bit and then it's going to be about moving on. And so we spent so much time them being like kind of in the background. And this has kind of been my issue with this particular season of Outlander. Because I think I said at the end of last season, we're getting people of color. And I was like, through slavery. And so my hope is that they would, you know, really flesh out the characters who are being oppressed at this current time in history. No comment on what else I was going to say. And so to have them kind of only be in background characters, to not really get to really experience them fully from the slaves at Aunt Jocasta's plantation to the Mohawk to the Cherokee, it's kind of been a letdown for me. I would have liked to have spent more time fleshing them out instead of just kind of, oh, you're here. And I understand they're here to propel the main character stories, but sometimes it's having those relationships with those side characters that really makes you love the main character even more.
Yeah. I would love to know a little bit more about Ulysses.
Phaedra.
Phaedra. Just like how they came out. How was he, you know, so dark-skinned, being able to be like her right-hand man? I want to know his background story. And then Jo-hyun, the wonderful mother who sacrificed herself for the name of love at the end. I wanted to see, like, as he was telling the story of their love, I wanted to see, like, they could have done flashbacks that could have showed us their intimacy, because I thought he was in love. I knew she may have had some affection for him, but I just didn't see it on her end as much as I heard it on his. So it would have been nice to them having, like, made some type of reference to how deep their love got, because I thought that was crazy at the end.
So for me, I agree with you. I think that I wanted to see more from her. I wanted to see her interacting with Roger, especially because they both speak French. I felt like we only got a little bit. And I don't know if it's different in the books, but with TV show, we only got a little bit. And then I still, even though we only got that small, you know, couple of scenes, I still could feel from her how deeply she felt for the father without her even saying a word.
I can even tell that the other men of the tribe had an affection for the father. Yeah. It wasn't that they wanted to do these things. It's that's just how their tribe functioned. And if you weren't willing to do this thing that we asked, you're disgracing the child. You're condemning the child, essentially, in their eyes. Well, you're condemning this child to hell if you're not willing to baptize the baby. Mm-hmm. And so for him, I mean, it's totally messed up. Like, he should have baptized his baby, even by the virtue of him being a priest. Like, in your mind, you're condemning your child to hell. Anyways, it was one of those things where it just felt like everyone loved this man, clearly. It would have been nice to have seen more of that interaction beforehand, or just to see more development for all those characters throughout. In the book, I can say this because it's not really a spoiler, but in the book, the father Alexander has a more fleshed out time, and it's more of the focus is put on him and his time with the Mohawk versus him kind of being used as just a way to kind of propel Roger into some type of action. And I appreciate that. I like when side characters aren't being used solely as propellants, you know, that they have actual lived history, because I think they did a good job of that in season one, season two, even in season three, of these characters who would come in. Like, that's why we know the moment we hear Leary in the background to be like, they did a good job of developing her, so we know to not like her.
Yeah.
They did a good job of developing John Gray, so we know to love him. Mm-hmm. If they didn't do that, then we wouldn't care. And it doesn't seem like, I think they could take those times even with characters that may not be coming back, because you never know. Like, Murtaugh, we didn't know if he was coming back or not, and he came back, and the reason we like him is because he was well-developed. So it's just, I don't know, anything from the chat.
We are having a lot of conversation from the chat. So I'm just going to read some of the highlights. I'm sorry if I missed you guys or missed your comment. Okay, let's see. Elizabeth Brown says he was in love with her and she didn't love him. Grayson Ryan says poor I'm going to butcher the name.
Joyon.
Mm-hmm. We didn't get enough of her. Billie Jean 24. Oh, he was in love with her. I thought she was his sister. Guess I was wrong. And then Kamara Harrington says, I'm sorry, but the priest was stupid. It reminds me of the Thornbirds. They could have lived as man and wife and had more children. Just crazy. And then Grayson Ryan says, I love John Gray from his series.
Yeah. John Gray does have a series for everyone not in the know.
Elizabeth Brown agrees with me. She said he was in love with her and she didn't love him. Yeah. So is that in the book?
No.
What was it?
She loved him. I mean, just like in the show, and she set herself on fire.
I couldn't really tell.
She set herself on fire. So,
well, at that point,
I personally,
it was obvious.
Would not set myself on fire for anyone I didn't love. Real talk, I don't know if I would set myself on fire for people that I did love. No offense. Love you all. Love my family. Love my friends. Not going to jump on a flame for you when you're already dead and I can't save you.
Yeah, rest in the peace. Fact that she waited until he's already dead, so he didn't even get to...
It was like, I love you. I don't want to be without you.
Experience that sacrifice. Yeah. Like, I wanted him to experience that. Like, know that she loved him that much, but... At that time, I mean, he was already dead.
Yeah.
Yeah. Moment of
some
silence.
Weird. It was kind of like a Hunchback. I thought of Hunchback of Notre Dame. Not the Disney animated version.
Okay.
But the actual novel where the Hunchback, I mean, it's kind of messed up. He digs her, what's her name?
Esmeralda.
He digs Esmeralda's grave, digs it open. And then clutches her body And then they find their two skulls, like, later. Their bodies entwined with each other. Because he found her corpse and, like, died of heartbreak next to her. I didn't think it was romantic then. I didn't really think it was romantic now. I don't think you should kill yourself for people who are already dead and you have a child with. And you should take care of
that. That was the most messed up part.
Leaving the child behind. Yeah.
Otherwise, I get the heartbreak.
Yeah.
But at the same time, nah.
I mean, otherwise, it's, like, tragically romantic, but...
Yeah, I'm not here for... I don't like Romeo and Juliet. I don't like Hunchback of Notre Dame. I'm not here for that. I'm going to die because I love you so much. That's not how I roll. I don't even really like that movie with Christopher Reeve
and... Oh, Somewhere in Time.
Somewhere in Time. My mother loves that crap. She also likes Thornbirds. I'm not here for that kind of crap. You can live happily ever after without the person you love. It's going to be sad. It might suck, but you'll find happiness again. Okay. All right. So, any other final thoughts on Roger and the Mohawk? And
I was going to say Mohican.
Just that, don't say Mohican.
If it had been me, and I knew that the priest was going to die anyway, I get why Roger did what he did. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't have been my thing. I would have just kept running.
Yeah, I get why he did. Because, well, they need... we'll talk about this in Book to Screen, but he is, I guess he didn't want him to be in pain. You know, he just wanted it to be quick. Kind of like Jon Snow in Game of Thrones.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
so you think he did that on purpose?
Yeah, he did it to set him on fire so that he would die quickly instead of slowly dying.
Yeah.
I thought it was a poor attempt to rescue.
Yeah. At first I thought, is that water? And then I was like, no, it's not water.
He knew.
Yeah, he did it on purpose.
Yeah.
Okay, so what about the bucket that ignited the flame like that? What did it have inside of it?
Nothing. It just knocked up
just
the fire.
Air. Mm-hmm. Okay, got it.
Because the fire was, like, under his feet, and then it just kind of engulfed him, so...
That was so... Like, when Roger gets involved in shit, it just gets so much worse. It's just... It's painful.
He should have just stayed in Scotland.
He's a walking bad omen. Sorry. I don't know what it is. He's just...
Poor guy. He's had the worst luck.
Lovable loser.
Maybe Roger. Just a loser.
He's lovable, though.
Sure.
Especially during his monologue with all the tears in his eyes. And
no, because I wanted that monologue to go a different way. And I thought he was going to talk about how he just messed up when he left. like I just got in my head. He said it later, but it took him forever to get to the point where he was like, yeah, maybe I shouldn't have left. Like, he shouldn't have left her. He shouldn't have left her. Mm-hmm. Like, so you had a fight, so you got upset, so you said some things that you didn't mean. You just married this woman and took her virginity. Like, maybe don't just, like, bounce. Like, maybe be like, I'm going to cool off.
Exactly.
I'll be back in a second.
Exactly.
Like, that's what you do as an adult.
See, he didn't take her virginity.
Yeah, he did.
Did he?
Yeah. They slept together first, and then she ended up getting raped by Bonnet.
Mm-hmm. I thought she was already sexually active in her current era.
No.
No.
So,
she said she wanted to potentially be more... open to that. Like, that's why she didn't want to marry him originally.
Right.
But she actually hadn't slept with anyone. That's why she was like, did I do it right?
When got you.
Done. And that was my problem with Roger, too, is that they had just been handfast, and they slept together, and they shared this beautiful moment, and then they have a fight, and he goes, and he shouldn't have, like, if he's... It's like he's a walking paradox, because on the one hand, he kind of comes off of this traditional man who, like, wants to do things in this very, like, traditional way. Mm-hmm. And then he just leaves someone who could be, you know, taken advantage of in this time period, just because of the time that it is.
Yeah.
So he should not have left, and none of this would have happened.
And this is—it's just not what it. It's just not what adults do.
Yeah.
And I know people are like, well, no, you know, sometimes you get caught up in the moment. I'm sorry, if you're an adult. An adult over the age of 25, okay? Then, not to say that you're under 25, you're not an adult. But you should know at this point, okay, I need to cool down. I'm going to walk away. I'll be back in a second. Like, this isn't over. Because it's just such a monumental moment. To just walk away from that, it's just frustrated me.
Kamara Harrington says, both Roger and Bree need to seriously grow up.
Yes.
They're both too stubborn. They forget where they are. Yeah. And that's the thing, is that, yeah, they said some really nasty things to each other, mm-hmm. both of them, but at the end of the day, Roger should have just been like, or one of them could have been like, hey, let's just take five, cool yeah. off, and talk about this.
Take a five.
Because we can't just make a decision to leave mm-hmm. during this emotional fight.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I agree. And on that, let's go ahead. Before we do book to screen, we usually do predictions. Just so for people who want to tune out after our predictions, you can go ahead and bounce. I understand.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
I thought we got away from the ominous Halloween.
Never.
Okay.
Never.
Maybe not.
It's been here for the... Oh, my God. I've been here for 5 years. It's been here for the 5 years I've been here. It's never going away. Including the beads.
So, I think... Roger is going to, well, obviously he's captive again. Mm-hmm. He's going to have to come up with another escape plan. That's probably going to include him being severely punished on a severe level for interfering with Father's death. And also, I think that Murtaugh and his militia are going to get caught before they get anywhere.
Mm.
I think they're going to be recaptured.
Hmm.
And I think Bonnet has escaped.
Yeah, I agree with you there. There's no way he didn't. Mm-hmm. My first prediction is with Bonnet. I'm 99% positive that the dude is still alive.
Mm-hmm.
He either escaped without a scratch mm-hmm. or he got caught up in, the blast
mm-hmm.
and it's going to leave him maybe deformed somehow mm-hmm. or
That'd be great.
Yeah, but he'll be even more pissed off and even more villainous.
Maybe if his penis flew off or something, that would be great.
I think that Roger, after the stunt that he mm-hmm. pulled with the Mohawk, they are going to try to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
But as they're going to do this, I think that the rescue party is going to arrive. Mm-hmm. And that's where we're going to see the altercation with Jamie and everyone that they kind of showed in the preview.
Yeah.
And then I think that Brianna and Roger, we only have one more episode. So I'm assuming that if they do get to see each other, we're not going to really get to see the fallout of what happened.
Mm-hmm.
But next season, my prediction is they're going to have that whole season of not knowing if they're going to actually be together or not. They're going to be together, but emotionally they might be so distant from each other because of what's happened.
That would suck. Don't waste my time like that. I don't like that kind of stuff. I think everything that you both said is accurate, and I agree with those predictions. I don't really have anything else to offer. I don't think Stephen Bonnet is dead. It would be nice if they did, scar him so he would stop looking like Point Break. maybe if they singed his hair off so he got a haircut. I would love that because I'm sick of that Point Break look. I think Jamie and Claire are going to make it just in time. I think Roger, I don't know if they would kill him for that. I'm curious to see if they would try and maybe cut off a hand or something. We don't need two one-handed guys on the show, but maybe one leg. Maybe they might.
Wait, we already have a guy with one leg. Right?
Who's one leg? Fergus is one hand.
Who was that? It was way back then.
I don't know.
Season one. Okay, it'll come later.
He might, we'll see.
Somebody.
And then I think, Bree might be having the baby as the show opens by how quickly they're doing time. She's in a whole different time and space. Oh, I did like that he said time and space in the show.
Yeah.
I love when people reference sci-fi in the show. So we'll see. We'll see. It'll be fun. But let's go ahead and get into book to screen because I can't say much without being like, oh, Miss Woolley. Don't you feel like you're in a Murder, She Wrote?
Yeah. Yes.
Y'all remember that stuff. She rips the paper. It flies into the air.
Oh, I thought of it. Who is Jamie's sister's husband?
Ian Sr. has one leg. Mm-hmm. Kamara Arrington.
There we go.
Boom. Yeah. So he already took the one leg peg.
So an eye patch. Let's mutilate somebody, you guys.
Ian
it's been a minute.
Sr. Thank you for that.
Right?
Who is that? Laura? You go, girl.
Yeah. Things we could do.
Come here. Okay.
They could Van Gogh him. They could Van Gogh him. They could rip out an eye. They could cut out his tongue. There are a lot of different things to mutilate people.
Just two-face him. Like Harvey.
Ooh. It's cold.
No.
I mean, I was saying some messed up crap over here. That's
true.
Really cold, Rachel.
That would really villainize him.
Yeah, oh, for Bonnet. I'm still on Roger. Anyways.
No, not Roger.
He's got to pay. Well, all right.
He's already dog face.
He is. Eokosa. Eokosa. Whatever, I'm not good at it. That's the name for dog face in Mohawk. Okay, so in the books. Okay, so Murtaugh, first off, is not in the books at this point. Murtaugh has died a long time ago. And the jailbreak still happens in the books, but the jailbreak is for Stephen Bonnet. It's not Fergus and Marsley. It's like his other acquaintances that come.
Oh my god!
And
the ship crew.
Yeah. So it ends up being that Brianna and John Grey are still there, but they do the jailbreak at the same time. They end up knocking out a guard. Then like one of Stephen's men ends up falling, and he's like leaving behind. But then Brianna pleads for him to save John Grey's life, so he saves John Grey, and then he tries to invite Brianna to join him on his
Who
boat.
Saves John Grey? Bonnet?
Bonnet.
Shut the front
and,
door.
And invites...
That's why I don't want to read the book.
Brianna onto his boat, and she refuses him. And then he comes back for book two, or book the next book. Book four.
Five.
Four.
The next...
This book is four.
Isn't it?
No. Book five? Season one and two... Were the first book.
Okay.
Drums the Bottom, I think, is book four. Mm. Or am I? Okay. If it's book four, then it's book five. Whatever, guys. He comes for the next book. That's what I'm trying to say. So, tell us in the chat if I'm wrong.
So
it's
he survives.
Totally he survives. He survives for a long time, you guys. Stephen Bonnet is here to stay. So Point Break.
We had a question from Lass in the chat. Why were the Indians calling Roger Dogface? And Elizabeth Brown answered by saying, because of his beard.
Because of his beard. Yeah, they explain that the Mohawk do not grow beards. And so he looked like a dog. And then they thought, another thing that he's like, desperate? There's another reason why they called him that. It wasn't just the beard. It was something else.
I thought it was because they beat the crap out of his face.
Grayson says, he looks like a confused puppy.
That's true. He does always look kind of confused. Okay. He also gives Brianna a black diamond instead of a ruby because in the book, he only uses one of the rubies to buy his ship, and then Roger steals the other two rubies from him. So he has a black diamond that he gives her. So, yeah. And then I have Bonnet will still continue on, .. I'm very sad. Roger does not break out of the hut. So here's a big twist. In the books... When the father is being burned alive, he's being set on fire, by the way. It's not just his feet on fire. They actually do fully set him on fire, and Johihan jumps onto him when he's being set on fire.
Mm.
But at the same time, Roger hears Gaelic outside of the hut and tries to break out of the hut and can't get out of the hut. And that's when he, like, awakes. He ends up getting knocked out, and when he awakes... Jamie is there in the hut with him because Jamie and Claire arrived in time to see the father being burned alive, and Johihan gave her baby to Claire
in the show.
Set herself on fire.
So much better.
So the time works a little bit better in the books because it's just planned out a little bit better. It makes sense for them to be there at this point, especially for as far along as Brianna is at this point. The time just doesn't work. Like, if you're 7 months behind him, then she should have already had the baby. And she should be, like, by the time they get back...
She would have had the baby.
She would have had the baby. Mm-hmm. And the baby would be, like, what, 6 months? If it takes them... If he's 7 months in front of them... Or, no, I guess he was a month in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
In any case, the time doesn't make any sense in the show. So... But she... She does have the baby, like, pretty soon after them getting to Roger. And then other stuff that I don't want to spoil. I'm not sure I'll be here for the next episode, but I don't want to spoil that next episode for y'all. So, that's about it. Those are the changes from the book that I have so far. I'm sure there are other changes that I didn't touch upon, but we're running a little bit late on time, so I want to get us out of here. Thank you guys so much for tuning in to the Outlander After Show on AfterBuzz TV. I'm Adrian Snow. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Adrian Snow. You can also catch me on Wednesday nights at 9 p.m. for the Magicians After Show. We're back! They're different people, you guys. Like, what's going to happen? Where can they follow you both?
Hey, guys. You can follow me on Instagram at AngelTaylor_.
And I am Rachel Goodman. You can follow me on Twitter or Instagram at Rach Goodman. And I also do the Young and the Restless After Buzz recap show on Sundays at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So you can find me there.
All right, guys, thank you so much for tuning in. If this is the last one for me, I will see you in 2020. And you guys have a good week.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.